Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to talk about the voter rights bill. It's now being held up in the Senate, thanks to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. There's a lot to cover concerning this bill. But first, I want to begin with a Bible lesson. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the hypocrisy of liars. Apostle Paul writes, "But the Spirit explicitly says, in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron." The path, or the means to apostasy, is through lies, and liars have a seared conscience and feel no shame in lying. Now, in the Old Testament, where the spiritual lessons were taught through national political events, the prophets continually indicted the civic leaders for their lies. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 4, "No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, "They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord." Verse 5, "Everyone deceives his neighbor and doesn't speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They have wearied themselves committing iniquity." Hosea chapter 7, verse 3, "With their wickedness, they make the king glad, and the princes with their lies." Psalm 58, 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lie go astray from birth." And Psalm 59, 11, "Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield, on account of the sins of their mouth and the words of their lips. Let them even be caught in their pride on account of curses and lies which they utter." The lies of the people, the lies of the ruling class, were a scourge upon the nation and a discouragement to God's people. In John chapter 8, in the temple, Jesus called the civic leaders of his day liars. John 8, 44, Jesus said, "You are like your father, the devil. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning." And in verse 55, Jesus said, "They're lying because they claim to know God when they don't know God." And the Bible concludes with this final word about lying, that the sin of lying will send men to hell. Revelation 21, 8, "But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And Revelation 22, 15, "Outside are dogs and sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying." That text is speaking about more than just telling untruths. It's referring to living a lie, promoting a false way of life, a false doctrine contrary to the Word of God. But that will always mean in practice telling actual lies. This voting right bill is being sold on a lie. Last month, President Biden was in Atlanta pushing for the bill, and he described Republicans as racist for being against the bill. Remember, given our moral relativism in our nation, the only sin that can be condemned, the only sin that one can be against, the only sin that gives one any moral authority is racism. So that's why any opposition to leftist policies is immediately deemed racism. It's the only evil motive they see. It's the only evil motive that gets traction with the public. So Biden, speaking about the need to support the voter right bill, said every official in this country has a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. Martin Luther King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? Wallace, Connor, and Davis were racists, And these are the men Joe Biden compares to Republicans who are opposed to the voter rights bill. So let's watch some of that speech.
It's not just here in Georgia. Last year alone, 19 states not proposed, but enacted 34 laws attacking voting rights. There are nearly 400 additional bills Republican members of state legislatures tried to pass. And now, Republican legislators in several states have already announced plans to escalate the onslaught this year. It's about making it harder to vote. It's about who gets to count the vote and whether your vote counts at all. The goal of the former president and his allies is to disenfranchise anyone who votes against them. Simple as that. I've been having these quiet conversations with the members of Congress for the last 2 months. I'm tired of being quiet. Not a single Republican has displayed the courage to stand up to a defeated president to protect America's right to vote. Not one. Not one. Today, I'm making it clear, to protect our democracy, I support changing the Senate rules, whichever way they need to be changed to prevent a minority of senators from blocking action on voting rights. When it comes to protecting majority rule in America, the majority should rule in the United States Senate. At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? This is the moment to decide, to defend our elections, to defend our democracy.
So the irony in this is that these racists, George Wallace, John Lewis, and Bull Connor, were all lifelong members of the Democrat Party. You would think that Biden speechwriters would pick up on this and at least have some shame. But I guess they're confident that the public won't remember that it was the Democrats who passed all of the Jim Crow laws. Well, the bottom line is that the Democrat propaganda is that Republicans are not passing the voter right bill because they're racist and they don't want minorities to vote. And this will be the Democrats' talking point going into the November election. Now, I try to be fair with Democrats. At least to distinguish between what is an out-and-out lie that Democrats are fully aware of and those lies that come from their worldview, where they think the lie is the truth because that's their ideology. Now, both situations meet the biblical definition of lying. In the Bible, a liar doesn't have to be aware that he's telling a lie to be a liar. All one has to do is communicate a falsehood. In Revelation 21:15, everyone who loves and practices lying doesn't mean these people are fully aware that they've been communicating falsehood about God, man, sin, or redemption. The condemnation is that they believe that the lie is the truth. But in this voting rights bill, in this situation, I can confidently say that the Democrats know that they're lying. They hold to situation ethics, where a lie is okay if it's for the greater good. Now, I'm not saying that Republicans never lie, but in this situation, in regard to the voter right bill, the Democrats are lying. A number of years ago, I had a conversation with a New Jersey legislator concerning voter ID. And he said that in back rooms, in private discussions with Democrats, they all agreed that voter ID is essential and that without voter ID, there would be no limit to the fraud. But when these same Democrat legislators got in front of the cameras, they announced that the Republicans are all racist for wanting voter ID. And when confronted later by the Republican colleagues, these Democrat legislators just smirked and said, well, you need to do what you need to do to win elections. So I have no doubt that the Democrats know that the Republicans' objection to the voter right bill is not about racism. They're just saying this to get the bill passed because the bill is about getting more votes for the Democrats. And we're going to look at that point in just a moment. But this kind of lying is a great offense to God. It's destroying our country. Evil always operates on lies. And if lies are associated with a policy, you can be sure that policy is morally wrong. If you find yourself having to lie to do something, you can be sure what you're doing is wrong. So, do these politicians lie? Here are some examples. In November, with Omicron spreading, Biden enacted travel restrictions on a number of African countries. But when President Trump enacted similar travel restrictions, Biden and the Democrats all said it was racism. When they do it, it's for health and safety. When the Republicans do it, it's out of racism. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, the hypocrisy of liars. Joe Biden, in trying to get the voter right bill passed, is saying that in order for democracy to flourish, the Senate must do away with the filibuster. But years ago, when some Republicans wanted to get rid of the filibuster, which was called the nuclear option at that time, Joe Biden said that the filibuster should never be removed. Any party that tries to end the filibuster is undemocratic. Here's that evidence.
What is really at stake in this debate, point blank, is the shape of our constitutional system for the next generation. And the nuclear option is a twofer. It excises independence from our courts and at the same time emasculates the Senate. Put simply, the nuclear option would transform the Senate, from the so-called cooling saucer our founding fathers talked about to cool the passions of the day, to a pure majoritarian body like a parliament. We've heard a lot in recent weeks about the rights of the majority and obstructionism, but the Senate is not meant to be a place of pure majoritarianism. Is majority rule what you really want? Do my Republican colleagues really want majority rule in this Senate? Republicans control the Senate, and they've decided that they're going to change the rule. At its core, the filibuster is not about stopping a nominee or a bill. It's about compromise and moderation. That's why the founders put unlimited debate in. When you have to, and I have never conducted a filibuster, but if I did, the purpose would be you have to deal with me as one senator. It doesn't mean I get my way. It means you may have to compromise. You may have to see my side of the argument. That's what it's about, engendering compromise and moderation. Getting rid of the filibuster has long-term consequences. If there's one thing I've learned in my years here, once you change the rules and surrender the Senate's institutional power, you never get it back. I say to my friends on the Republican side, you may own the field right now, but you won't own it forever. And I pray God, when the Democrats take back control, we don't make the kind of naked power grab you are doing, but I'm afraid you will teach my new colleagues the wrong lessons.
So again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the hypocrisy of liars. Joe Biden is now saying that it's time for there to be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. But in 2003, George W. Bush nominated Janice Roger Brown to serve on the U.S. D.C. Court of Appeals. She would have been the first black woman in that position. But Biden filibustered the vote and voted against her because she was a libertarian conservative. Biden was not interested in a black woman being on the bench. He's just interested in getting a leftist judge, and he's using racism to accomplish his goal. It's the hypocrisy of liars. The midterms are coming up. And when Trump nominated a Supreme Court judge before the midterms, the Democrats said that that was unfair. And they demanded that the Senate should wait until they hear from the public in the midterm elections. But now that Biden is nominating a Supreme Court justice before the midterms, that's okay. the hypocrisy of liars, or in the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And how about the Ukraine situation? Biden and the Democrats accused Trump of quid pro quo with the president of Ukraine. In other words, claiming that Trump threatened to withhold American aid unless the Ukraine investigates Burisma Holdings and Hunter Biden. But we have on tape the Council for Foreign Relations, Biden boasting that he threatened to withhold government funding from the Ukraine unless they fired the Ukrainian prosecutor going after Hunter Biden. That's quid pro quo. Oh, and this story came out recently. Biden claimed that the reason he wanted the Ukrainian prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, fired was because the Obama administration wasn't happy with Shokin's reforms. Well, papers have now been released under the Freedom of Information Act that shows that was not the case. The Biden administration actually liked Viktor Shokin. So there's lies, lies, and more lies. Then there's this whole made-up Russian collusion story used by the Democrats to impeach Trump. Investigation after investigation, the media reporting on it every night. Yet it was the Democrats themselves who paid for the fake Steele dossier. And how about this story? The Biden administration says that there are no secret flights transporting illegal immigrants into the states, but secret immigrant drops have been caught on camera. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino obtained the video through a Freedom of Information Act request. He joined America's newsroom to discuss the footage that is garnering national attention. Quote from Astorino, these people are being relocated to places like Westchester, Long Island, suburbs, and to other states, and nobody is informed. The federal government is literally breaking the law. And this goes along with the lie that the administration is telling that the borders are not open, when in fact the borders are deliberately being kept wide open. Aline Gorokova was a young woman in the Soviet Union back in the 1960s. She began to write about all the lies being put forth by the Soviet Communist government and by the media at the time. Pravda, the main Russian newspaper, means truth in Russian, but it's anything but truth. Gorokova wrote a book called The Mountain of Crumbs. And in it is this famous quote about the Soviet Union, which today applies to America. Quote, the rules are simple. They lie to us. We know that they're lying. They know we know they're lying, but they keep lying to us, and we keep pretending to believe them. Here's an interesting article. PJ Media hired a relatively new reporter, Athena Thorne, and she writes, I've only been a full-time journalist for a few months. Before I came to work at PJ Media, I labored away at desk jobs in various companies and industries for a couple of decades, but I was always interested in current events, both reading and writing about them. Matt Drudge in 1998 had spiked the perfectly salacious scoop that the married president of the United States had schlepped a young lowly intern in the Oval Office. This opened my eyes to two things. The level of deception we've all been subject to until that moment, and the potential of the internet to expose the stories the left doesn't want us to know about. PJ Media is staffed by real journalists who, first of all, find the story I never had heard about if I wasn't plugged into this outlet, and second, they do the research to bring truth to light. In just 3 months, the 3 months I've been here, I've learned about so many things that never came to my attention before. Then she goes on to give some examples and concludes with, my point is, I didn't even realize how much news I wasn't being told. So how are we doing in this? Do we realize that lies and not truth prevail in the land? Have our eyes been opened to the level of deception? Do we realize what the Bible says is true? Psalm chapter 5, verse 9, which is again quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 3, there is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Don't be naive. So now let's talk about the voter rights bill. Back in the summer of 2021, the Democrats presented a bill called the John Lewis Voter Rights Advancement Act. The bill passed the House in August, 219 to 213 along party lines. It's now been held up in the Senate because the Democrats don't have the 60% majority to pass the bill. In the Senate, most bills have to pass by a 60% margin because the Senate has what's called filibuster rules, where the minority party can keep the party in the majority from bringing a bill to the floor unless the majority gets 60%. This has the effect of preserving minority rights and has helped keep the Senate from passing bills that lack bipartisan support. So a couple of weeks ago, the Democrats in the Senate attempted to change the Senate rules and do away with the filibuster in order to pass the voter right bill. But two Democrat senators, Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema from Arizona, refused to vote to eliminate the filibuster. Now, if you recall back in 2013, when the Democrats controlled the Senate, the Democrat leader of the Senate at that time, Harry Reid, got rid of the filibuster rule when it came to picking court justices. Maybe they assumed the Democrats would always be in the majority in the Senate. Well, they regret that action because under Trump, with no filibuster rule, the Republicans were able to put three conservative justices on the Supreme Court. It's all in the providence of God. So now Manchin and Sinema are saying that if the filibuster is completely removed, look at the power you will give the Republicans if they win the Senate in the midterm elections this fall. Now, my hunch is that the Democrat leadership, even though they want the voter right bill passed, really don't want to end the filibuster. They're just using Manchin and Sinema to be the bad guys. They had to play to their more radical base to show that they're trying to get the voter right bill passed. But this was some sort of deal hatched in a back room. So did you get all that? Let's talk about the bill itself. The bill nationalizes voting procedures and standards. As is right now, each state gets to decide its own procedures. If the bill ever passes the Senate, and it is signed by the president, it will immediately be challenged in the courts as being unconstitutional because the Constitution clearly gives the states the power to regulate voting. And you can look more deeply in this Heritage article that I've put up here. Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the Constitution reads, "The times, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, but the Congress may at any time, by law, make or alter such regulations, except as to the place of choosing senators." Now, this second sentence gives the federal government ultimate authority in holding elections. The framers of the Constitution were concerned that the states might attempt to undermine the national government by just refusing to hold elections altogether. But even though Congress is given the authority to force the states to hold elections, the whole point is that the procedural authority is given to the states. And this diversity of procedure among the states is a check against the federal government attempting to override the states and manipulating the vote. But this Voter Rights Advancement Act gives the federal government the power to determine the times, places, and manner of holding elections, and so it is clearly unconstitutional. The bill would mandate, first, universal mail-in ballots. No one has to show up in person, and no one has to give any reason for using a mail-in ballot. Mail-in ballots would be automatic. One would not even have to request one. And this would litter the country with millions of ballots, increasing the danger of fraud. Second, all states would have early voting 2 weeks in advance. This would create a situation where the results, being detected early, could cause actors to manipulate the vote as needed. Number three, states could not pass any voting laws without the permission of the Federal Department of Justice. That is definitely an unconstitutional, deep state, federal power grab. Number four, states must have same-day voter registration and online registration. This doesn't give the states any time to confirm the identity of voters. So on election day, a party could send thousands of people to register to vote under false names, using false addresses, and those votes would get added to the totals. And since the voters are kept secret, there'd be no way to remove those votes from anyone's total. Number five, the bill would eliminate the way states can purge voters from voter rolls. Already in the state of New Jersey, the laws make it impossible, almost impossible, to remove anyone from the voter rolls. Can't imagine what that would be if it was nationwide. Number six, the bill would impose new rules on how campaigns are funded. Now, this could be a good thing because dark money, bundling, political action committees have a corrupt side, but this would also curtail our freedom to support a good cause. This bill requires that the names of all donors be disclosed. And we know what happened in California when the list of donors was released of those who donated money to support Proposition 8, which would ban same-sex marriage. Those donors were targeted. Some even lost their jobs. Number seven, the bill would give the Federal Election Commission the power to decide which voting machines and computer systems the state should use. As is right now, the diversity of systems is a check and balance on the danger of having one system that can easily be manipulated from a central source. If states really wanted to be safe, they could do away with computers altogether and go with old-fashioned paper ballots. But under this bill, that would not be permitted. Every state would have to use the federal government's chosen computer system. Number eight, the bill would allow convicted felons the right to vote once they're out of incarceration. As is right now, each state has different laws in this regard. Now, this may seem as if once you have served your jail time, all punishment should be over. But it's perfectly reasonable for the punishment for a crime to extend beyond a person's jail time, such as sexual predators having to be on a list, parole, the banning of certain professional licenses for certain crimes. All of those punishments can be written into the original sentence. And number nine, the bill would reduce ID requirements, as we now have in many states. The voter would not need an official ID or a photo ID. Any printed bank statement or letter will suffice. Back in 2005, there was the Carter-Baker Commission on Federal Election Reform. Former President Jimmy Carter was on the commission, and it made recommendations for election integrity, voter photo ID, limited absentee voting because mail-in ballots are prone to fraud, better up-to-date voter rolls. The commission recommended some of the strict voter requirements used throughout Europe and other nations who have learned from experience the potential for fraud. Notice this Wall Street Journal piece. He, Jimmy Carter, on the danger of mail-in voting absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. But now the left is throwing that commission under the bus and saying things have changed and we shouldn't pay attention to it. So what's really going on here in this voter rights bill is that the Democrats are enacting a federal power grab designed to thwart the election reform laws that have been passed in the states over the past few months. The Democrats want to make permanent all of the mail-in voting allowances that were enacted under COVID-19, because the Democrats saw how this helped them win the 2020 election. On the other hand, the Republicans saw how the vote-by-mail situation resulted in election fraud and confusion. I mean, yes, their candidate lost, Trump, but regardless, the election was one big mess. There was no way to check the legitimacy of the vote. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court just ruled that the Pennsylvania mail-in voting system in the 2020 election violated the state's constitution because Governor Wolf, a Democrat, created these mail-in mandates under his COVID-19 emergency powers rather than going through the state legislature as prescribed in the state constitution and in the U.S. Constitution. Well, Wolf did this because the Pennsylvania state legislature is Republican, and it was a way for the Democrats to do an end around the Republican legislature. And many other state governors did the same thing. So now these Republican legislators are passing laws putting an end to these unconstitutional power grabs by these governors. Remember this Pennsylvania situation was the case that Texas brought to the Supreme Court right after Trump lost the election. Texas was claiming that the state of Pennsylvania violated the U.S. Constitution in not going to the legislature to change voting procedure. Remember Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution, the times, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. What these states did was clearly a violation of the Constitution. But the Supreme Court refused to touch this case for political reasons because it would mean Pennsylvania's results would be nullified and maybe Pennsylvania would have to hold another election. And this would upset the Democrats. So rather than following the law, the Supreme Court decided to do that which best keeps the peace. Last month, a Wisconsin judge ruled against the Wisconsin Election Commission in that the commission was placing ballot drop boxes wherever they chose. The Wisconsin legislature passed a law stating that the drop boxes could only be at state election offices. The Republican legislature was trying to curtail ballot harvesting and secret ballot drops. The Democrat governor and his election commission said, "We don't care. We have the right to put them anywhere we want." And the judge overturned their disregard for the law. If you've been following the news in Georgia, at these drop boxes in the 2020 election, security cameras have caught the same people dropping off multiple ballots at multiple drop boxes. Headlines. Georgia investigators have ballot trafficker who is talking, admits to being paid thousands in 2020 election ballot box, ballot harvesting scheme. 242 ballot traffickers identified. So I checked out this piece from multiple mainstream news sources, and it's real. After the 2020 November election, in regard to the Senate runoff in Georgia, a man in Georgia came forward and admitted that he was paid $10 for every ballot he put into the ballot box. He made $45,000 in 2 months. Not only this man, But 242 other people were caught on video stuffing the ballot boxes in the Georgia runoff. Now, if these were fake ballots, that was illegal. If these were ballots harvested, that too was illegal. These ballot boxes were placed throughout the city, and cheaters took advantage of the situation. Someone was spending millions of dollars on these operatives to make sure that the Democrats won the Senate. And remember, after the 2020 election, the Georgia Senate race was too close to call, and there would be a runoff. The Democrats poured millions into Georgia to make sure the Democrats won the Senate. Well, this is where some of the money went. But here's an interesting part of the story. This man's mother told him that what he was doing was wrong and that he needed to come forward and confess. And this confirms one of my predictions, that if there was cheating in the 2020 election, it had to involve so many people that eventually someone is going to blow the whistle, because there are always going to be people who repent, those people who come to know Christ, and they're going to confess. And if you've been following conservative sites, Dinesh D'Souza is coming out with a documentary next month called 2,000 Mules, which will give evidence of these operatives stuffing ballot boxes, all caught on film. If the 2020 election was stolen, the evidence will someday come out. So the Democrats on the federal level saw how well universal mail-in voting, same-day registration, drop boxes, no voter ID worked for giving them the 2020 election. And they want to make these procedures permanent. Their only obstacle are these states that are now passing laws to hinder fraud. And hence, to override these state laws, they're trying to pass the John Lewis Voter Rights Advancement Act, which will give the power to the Federal Election Commission, to that bureaucracy, to that deep state, to make voter law. And the way this bill is being sold to the American people is that this bill would give more people the freedom to vote, and Republicans are trying to keep people from voting because they're racist. However, we had the Voter Rights Act of 1965, and even with the states recently passing voter ID laws and limiting mail-in ballots, trying to return to the pre-COVID rules, nobody is being prevented from voting. The Democrats cannot put forth a single person who is actually being kept from voting by current state laws. Now, someone could make the silly argument that any voting regulation can in some way hinder voting. Just the fact that you have to even pick up a pen and sign your name or walk to a mailbox could be called a hindrance. But everyone knows that some effort is required in voting. There is always going to be some inconvenience. But the effort or the inconvenience that is essential to preventing voter fraud is so minimal that everyone can still participate. You need an ID to do business today, to go to the bank, to go to the DMV, to visit the hospital. And that's the way the Supreme Court has ruled on these voting regulations. Justice Alito recently wrote in an Arizona case, to have to identify one's own polling place and then travel there to vote does not exceed the usual burden of voting. On the contrary, these tasks are quintessential examples of the usual burdens of voting. But what the Democrats are doing is making it appear as if normal expected effort is onerous and racist. Why? Well, because they want to keep mail-in ballots, same-day registration, and drop boxes. Because it's easier to cheat? Well, maybe. But also, I suspect that they assume that many low-information voters won't bother to remember to vote or won't vote unless someone harvests their ballots. In other words, to have at least 2 weeks to knock on people's doors and to collect and mail people's ballots for them. The average Democrat voter and even Democrat politician doesn't believe Biden won by cheating. They assume that the voters finally came out. And that this shows that there is a whole block of Democrat voters that don't vote because they must be hindered by society in some way. It certainly can't be because of their indifference or their lack of interest in politics, because on the left, there's no such thing as personal sin or failure. Society must be doing this to them in some harmful way. And since these are often minorities in the inner city who don't vote, it must be due to racism. So do you see how the Democrats connect the dots? In the inner cities, even in the suburbs, only 60% of eligible voters vote. And if the Democrats could get everyone in the inner cities to vote, they assume that that would equate to more votes for the Democrats, and they'll win elections. And that's what they believed happened in 2020 with drop boxes and mail-in ballots. Voter turnout was the highest it had ever been. So the conclusion for Democrats, remove all voter obstacles and the Democrats will win more elections. The Democrats want to set up a situation where the Republicans can never again win by increasing voters in the inner city, by bringing in illegal immigrants, and by allowing felons to vote. Now, we can all admit that it's good to have more people vote. But the problem with removing voter requirements is that it leads to fraud. Not just fake ballots, but operatives going through neighborhoods, twisting people's arm to vote in a certain way. When these people don't even care to vote, when these people have the humility to admit that they don't know anything about politics and should not be voting, these non-voters can easily be enticed by superficial reasons. But the Democrats say they don't care about that. They want to get out the vote as long as the people vote for them. So to sum up, what's really going on here is the Democrats are trying to get the 40% of eligible voters who don't care to vote. And they want to do this by drop boxes, mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, and early voting. The corruption in all this is the lies promoting this voter rights bill. The true intent of the bill is being kept secret. The Democrats are accusing the Republicans of racism, accusing them of suppressing the vote, and the Democrats are covering up what the real plan is all about. So I hope you've learned something from this program. The hypocrisy of liars, lies and not truth prevail in the land. And even though this program is about the sin of others, let me just mention to be careful to not become self-righteous in all this, but we need to examine our own hearts. As I heard Jordan Peterson recently say, are you concerning yourself with the dust in your enemy's eyes instead of attending to the filth that obscures your own sight? Of course, he was paraphrasing Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. We're all sinners. Only God is true, and every man is a liar. Our Father, which art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Eventually, I'd like to do a whole program on the danger of self-righteousness amongst political conservatives. But at least for now, may these warnings about liars convict all of our hearts. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.